Lord has really blessed y'all with an abundance of good musicians. I've enjoyed the music. And I want to say thank you that I've enjoyed the time here. And thank you to Brother David and Sister Pat for your hospitality. And to each of you, you've been very attentive and you make it easy to preach the gospel. And I appreciate that. Appreciate your attentiveness. I pray the Lord to bless us this morning. We have God's been gracious to give us some pictures in Scripture. Very simple pictures to help us see the gospel clearly. And I want to look at one of those today in Exodus 26. Exodus chapter 26. Some of you have commented, and it's easy. They introduced me as being from Princeton, New Jersey, and as soon as I open my mouth, you know he's not from New Jersey. And I'm not. I'm from South Arkansas. And the Lord had to have moved me to New Jersey because I had no desire to leave the South at all. And when they told Brother Maurice Montgomery about that, he said, "Boy," he said, "God's grace is something, ain't it?" Exodus 26, let's read beginning in verse 15. "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up." These were the boards that went upright, up and down, all the way around to make the tabernacle. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons, these were like feet, shall there be in one board. They came out under each board, 2 feet. And they set in order one against another. And thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side, southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards. 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons. And 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. You get the picture here. These 2 tenons, like feet, came out from under each board. And for each tenon, there was a socket. So there's 2 sockets under each board of the tabernacle. And for the second side of the tabernacle, on the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards, and 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides, and they shall be coupled together beneath, and they should be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. And thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the board shall reach from end to end." Now you get the picture here. These boards ran, you had the boards running upright. These boards ran across those boards, back to front to back. And there was 4 boards that did that. And then one of the bars ran through the board. And it says here, verse 29, "And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount." So you had the sides of the tabernacle. They were made of these boards of shittim wood overlaid with gold. And each board had 2 tenons that fit into 2 sockets that made up the foundation, held these boards upright. And you had 5 bars that went around the sides to hold the boards together. One of those bars went right through the center of the boards. And they were all, it was all on this silver foundation. This silver foundation. And this foundation was comprised of silver that had been gathered up from an offering that God required of the shekel of the sanctuary for the ransom of their soul. It pictured the redemption of God redeeming them out of Egypt through the Passover lamb that died in their place. That's what they were remembering by offering that shekel of the sanctuary. Then he took that silver and made this foundation. And the whole tabernacle was fitly framed together and sat on this one foundation. Now, that pictures our Lord Jesus Christ fitly framing his people together into his holy tabernacle, and we're fitted together upon the one foundation of Christ Jesus himself and the redemption that he's fully accomplished for his people. That's what we have pictured here in this tabernacle. Let me show you that. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. I want to back this up with some scripture to show you the things that this shows us. This is true of this picture we're looking at. We read in Hebrews 8 here, it says, verse 1, of the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now go with me to Ephesians 2 and look here at Ephesians 2. This chapter is so good on telling us how that Christ is our peace because of the redemption he accomplished, and also because he sent the gospel to us and declared this in our heart. And so it concludes here in Ephesians 2:19, and he says, "Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Just like that one bar that ran through the boards, we also have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. So we're fitly framed together on this one foundation. So I want to talk to you this morning a little about this subject of Christ, our foundation. Now, first the thing we see here in our text in Exodus 26 is that these boards typify Christ's people. These boards typify Christ's people. And you think about this, these boards were made from shittim wood, from a tree that was called the shittim tree. And we're like a tree in a lot of ways. When we come forth into this world, we have our roots in this cursed earth, just like that shittim tree did. I remember when I was young and I was unlike some people, I grew up sitting under the preaching of the gospel. But I was bound and determined not to hear it. I just was determined not to hear it. I had my roots in this earth, and I was going to go and live for the world, and had my goals and aspirations, and all of it was for the world, and the Lord wasn't involved in any of it. And I was not going to hear. But God purposed differently. And contrary to me trying not to hear, he made me hear. He made me hear. If they're going to make these boards, they had to cut that shittim tree down. And if God's going to assemble you and I as his people in his tabernacle, we're going to have to be brought down. And that's what the Lord does. He brings his people down. He brings us down. He grants us repentance. And he makes us to be rooted and built up in him, rather than rooted and built up in this earth. He grants his people repentance, and only God can do that. Only God can do that. Scripture says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the true and living God? He's the one who grants us a change of mind and a change of heart and turns us from living for ourselves and for our dead works and brings us to live for Christ. And you noticed here at the bottom of each of these boards, they had these tenons, these 2 feet that came out of these boards that were made to sit in this foundation. And when God has given you repentance and he's brought you to behold Christ, given you faith in Christ, he brings us, like these boards stood upright on this foundation, he brings you to stand on one foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brings you to stand, be fitted in him, standing upon this one foundation, just like these boards. And then we noticed these boards were overlaid in pure gold. If you looked at these boards, you couldn't see the wood. All you could see was the pure gold. And when God has called you to faith in Christ, here you were, a sinner, separated from God, couldn't bring yourself into God's presence. But when he's brought you to trust Christ and trust his righteousness alone, God imputes Christ's righteousness to us so that when God looks upon us, he's not looking upon that sinful humanity. He's looking upon the gold of his son's own righteousness. And that's how he receives us. Just like when you looked at these boards and you saw the gold. And then you see these corner boards here were coupled together beneath and they were coupled together above. And that's a good picture of the Lord's people. Beneath, we're coupled together by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It makes us one. We're one, trusting one Lord, of one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. We're one. And then above, where Christ is seated in glory, we're coupled together in Christ. And we're one in him. And then, of course, you had this bar, these bars holding it all together. And Christ is the bar. He's not only the foundation, he's the bars that hold us together. And he's the bar running through his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so the whole building, you and me, who are God's people, have been fitly framed together by Christ our Lord, held together by Christ our Lord, all on this one foundation. And that's Christ and the redemption that he's accomplished. And so I want to look here now at this foundation and see Christ in this foundation. Now, verse 19 says there, "Thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons." And he repeats this. And the Lord will have us to see here that this foundation is very important. All of these boards were fastened and held together on this foundation. And you picture this. I read somewhere where this foundation, these sockets were triangular, and that they fit together, you know, like you fit a puzzle together, so that they formed one solid foundation, and when they were very stable, so these boards fit into this foundation, and it was held up, and it was very stable because of this foundation. Now, I want to show you that this silver came from this offering that God demanded that represented redemption. Go to Exodus 30, and let's read this. It said in verse 11, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then they shall give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them." That word ransom is carries the same meaning as redemption. You're going to give a ransom for his soul, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them, so that there's no plague among them. "This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary." A shekel was a was like a coin. It was like an amount of money. But notice God says it's got to be after the shekel of the sanctuary. And he says, a shekel is 20 gerahs, and a half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. That means 10 gerahs is what they gave, half a shekel. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. That is, make the foundation out of it. Now watch. Why? What was the purpose? That it may be a memorial, something to cause us to remember, cause them to remember, unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for your souls. Now, these silver sockets typify redemption accomplished, full atonement accomplished by Christ Jesus for God's elect. That's what this silver foundation represents. Now, you noticed he said there in Exodus 30, verse 12, it's the children of Israel after their number. That's who this redemption was for, the children of Israel. It was not for, there was a lot of other nations around Israel, but this was just for the children of Israel. When our Lord Jesus came and went to the cross, he was redeeming a particular people. He was redeeming a particular people called the Israel of God, made up of God's elect, Jew and Gentile. That's who he was representing. See, redemption is a price. Redemption is paying a price. We had a debt that we owed to God. And the price that had to be paid had to be an exact price. It had to be the exact price that was owed. That's why God told them this had to be the shekel of the sanctuary. That's like saying a coin from the U.S. Mint. You know, when we take our money, we take our coins, we put them in our pocket, we walk around with them, and those coins rub against one another, and they exchange back and forth. And if you were to weigh one of those coins, it wouldn't weigh what it weighed when it came out of the U.S. Mint, because little bits have been shaved off of it through exchange and through being used. God said, don't offer me that. It's got to be the perfect weight that comes out of the sanctuary, out of the mint. It's got to be perfect. And the reason it is because when Christ went to the cross, he had to pay the exact payment demanded for each one of his children. This is why it's so important that we preach that Christ went to the cross and laid down his life for a particular people, because he went there to pay a specific price that was owed. He didn't go there just to randomly pay for sins in general. That's not even a possibility. He went there to pay the sin debt, a particular sin debt, for the particular sins of a particular people. Amen. And he went there to pay the exact price justice demanded. That's what God told Moses in the wilderness. He is merciful. He reserves mercy for thousands, but he will not clear the guilty. And all those he's going to show mercy are guilty. You and me are guilty. And so if he's going to show me mercy, he's got to do it consistent with his justice. His law's got to be honored. It's got to be upheld so that God remains righteous and holy. And so if he's going to save a sinner, every sin that you and I have ever thought against God, or spoken against God, or acted against God, has got to be paid for. It's got to be paid for. Justice has got to be poured out. And so Christ went to the cross to take all the sins of all his people and pay the exact price demanded. He paid the ransom, the exact price. When you redeem somebody, to redeem is to pay a purchase price, a price that must be paid. And when you've redeemed an object, you've paid the price that was demanded. And when you pay that price, it switches owners. It goes from being an object owned by that person to this person who paid for it. That's why Scripture calls his people Christ's purchased possession. He bought us. He paid the redemption price, and he bought us. And we're his purchased possession. We're his purchased possession. And this is the blessing of this thing. He said there in Exodus 30:12, it's so that there will be no plague among them. This is what the scripture says. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And the scripture tells us, God said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. When God says, when he imputes righteousness to us, God's not just treating you and me like we're righteous. We've been made the righteousness of God by Christ. Christ actually paid the price and actually blotted out our sin so that we've been made the righteousness of God in him. And when God imputes righteousness to you, he's just making you know what's already been accomplished. It's already been done. And that's what Christ did for his people. Now, I want you to notice here, watch this. It was the shekel of the sanctuary. He said a full shekel was 20 gerahs. And so a half shekel, that's what had to be given, was a half shekel. That means that was 10 gerahs. Now in Scripture, 10 is the word for responsibility. We have 10 commandments. 10 commandments. God gave those commandments not for you and me to try to keep them, to come to God by them. He gave them to show us we broke them all in the garden in Adam, when we sinned in Adam. He gave them to us to show us how, to show us the abundance of our sin, to make our sin abound before us. But see, Christ came and took full responsibility for us, for his people. And so you have a picture here of 10 gerahs being paid. That means the full responsibility, the full amount was paid. And do you remember back in Exodus 26, do you remember how tall each one of those boards were? They were 10 cubits. And here's what it pictures. Christ took full responsibility for his people. He paid the redemption price equal to the full demand of God's perfect law, which we had broken. And now our acceptance and our standing in Christ is upon that one foundation of that perfect price that has been paid. Yeah. And there wasn't some boards that were 10 cubits long and some that were 8 and some that were 7 and some that were 6. No, they were all 10 cubits long. In Christ, there's no some that are a little more righteous and some a little less righteous and some a little more accepted, some a little less accepted. God sees his people in Christ as equally measuring up to the exact measurement that God demands. Exactly. So we can't be looking down on one another. You know, this is the thing about grace. This is the thing about being made righteous in Christ. We know, he's revealed to us, we were all equally sinners. We were all equally corrupt. But now in Christ, we're all equally righteous in Christ and accepted in Christ. So when I see my brother sin, I'll not think less of him because I'm just like him. Whatever he's doing, if I'm not doing it right now, just wait a little while. I'll think the same thing. I'll say the same thing. I'll do the same thing. But this I know, in Christ, he meets the full measurement God requires, and God receives him. And he receives me that way. And he receives you that way. And all his, he receives that way. So rather than looking down on my brother or thinking, my brother, I should just help restore him to Christ. Help turn him back to Christ. Help him to behold Christ and what Christ has done for him. Because he's just as accepted of Christ as I am. His sin's just as fully put away by Christ as mine is. So we need to look at one another like Christ looks at us. See one another as Christ sees us. And ignore the the rest. Don't you love how in the Old Testament you read, and under that legal dispensation, you read about all the sins of God's people? You go to the New Testament, you read Hebrews 11, it don't mention any of that. You don't hear, it doesn't say Sarah laughed when God said you're going to have a child. It says she believed God was able to do what he said he would do. That's how God views his people in Christ, like we're recorded in the New Testament there. The sin's put away. It's gone. That's why we don't want to come to him in the law and in our works. We want to come to him believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and resting in him alone. Now, let me give you a couple applications here to end with this. If they had tried to build that tabernacle out there in that desert, in that sand, if they had tried to build that tabernacle on that sand, it would have never stood up. It would have never stood up. They couldn't have hammered them boards deep enough into that sand to make that tabernacle stand up. But on that solid foundation of silver, in that waste howling wilderness with all that wind blowing and all those sandstorms they had, that tabernacle stood firm on that foundation. Go with me to Matthew 7. Listen to what Christ teaches us right here. Matthew chapter 7. He says here in verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." What did he teach here and what did he say? Let me sum it up for you. Believe on Christ. Amen. Believe on Christ. Now, he that hears this and does it, he says, "I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." He built it upon a precious, sure foundation. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Whatever you do, don't try to come into God's presence building building upon sand. Don't try to come in building upon sand. And if you're trying to trust your works, if I'm trying to trust my works, that's what we'd be doing, trying to build upon sand. Rest everything on Christ alone. Trust Christ alone. He's that rock. He's that foundation. God said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a precious cornerstone." And he's more precious to us than that silver, those silver sockets. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. We were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb, as of a spot without, of a lamb without spot and blemish, the precious blood of Christ. Secondly, understand this. Whatever offerings, whatever works they did when they went into that tabernacle, they did not add to that foundation at all. Everything they did in that tabernacle, in the service of the Lord, they did on the footing of a foundation already finished. Already finished. We're not like those who say that now we're adding something to what Christ has done for us by whatever we do as believers. We're not adding to Christ. The foundation's finished. Christ has finished it. We don't do anything as we serve the Lord. We don't do anything to be accepted of God. Amen. We do what we do because we are accepted of God. Amen. We don't do what we do because of works trying to gain God's favor. We do it because God has freely bestowed his favor upon us. It's called faith which worketh by love. And that's the rule we're under. That's the rule of the believer. Believe on Christ, the whole law is fulfilled by Christ. It's been taken out of the way for us so that we can actually now live unto God. And everything we do from the principle of love for what Christ has done for us. And now here's the last thing. These bars that were on the side, they went through the middle of these boards, or one of them went through the middle, but the others were on three rings. There was three gold rings that these bars went through. Now, those bars are like Christ holding us together by his omnipotent grace, by his power and wisdom, holding his church together, keeping us facing upward, looking to Christ like these boards were, keeping us together like these boards were kept together, and preserving us in every way. And those three rings, brethren, are the three, they're like the three gifts of his grace to us. There's three things that all of us have in common and by which Christ is holding us together. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth faith. That's faith in Christ, trust in him. Now abideth hope. That's hope in Christ, trust in him. And charity, love in Christ. All of these are in Christ. Now you think about it. You think about it. Every time that they picked up that tabernacle and they moved that tabernacle, I read this, that each of those sockets weighed 75 pounds. And so there's 100 sockets. That's 7,500 pounds that the foundation weighed. Every time they moved that tabernacle, they were reminded of the weight of redemption. They were reminded of how heavy that price was for them to be redeemed. We have a reminder too. We take the bread and the wine and we remember Christ's broken body. That's what it took to redeem us. He gave, you ever just think about that? He gave his life. He gave his body to be broken. Visage marred more than any man. And more than that, forsaken of God. That's a heavy weight to pay this price of redemption, isn't it? Yeah. And he paid it. And he paid it. And so now, brethren, he's holding his people together because his glory's at stake. You think about it. If he loses one that he died for, as some of the old writers used to say, he loses more than I lose. Because his very glory is at stake. You know what that means? That means we're secure, brethren. He's not going to lose one. He said, no man will pluck them out of my hand. No man will pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're kept by him. And one day when we get to glory, you know, he's created a new man in us right now. And Scripture says he's created in righteousness and true holiness. But when we get done, when he's finished with this work, he's going to raise us with a new body that's created in righteousness and true holiness. And then, within and without, we're going to be righteous and holy with no trace of sin, an entirely new creation. And we're going to worship Christ like we would like to worship him now. Perfect. Perfectly. And this whole thing is from him, by him, through him, and to him. I pray God today and make, if there's somebody here that's not on this foundation, I pray he'd make you cast all your care on Christ and rest in him. Do what you do for him. For him. Amen. Thank you so much for your hospitality. I really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you.